You're listening to The Comedy Cellar, live from the table on the Riotcast Network, riotcast.com.
This is The Comedy Cellar Show on Sirius XM 99, Raw Dog. And this is your host, Dan Natterman, which means, of course, that Noam Dorman is not here. I believe he is in Las Vegas. Is that correct, Mr. Calabria?
That is correct.
He is in Las Vegas because, as our listeners know, the Comedy Cellar is starting a room in Las Vegas. Damien, did you know that?
I didn't know that.
Well, the Comedy Cellar will be starting a Las Vegas room. I believe it's opening in March. Comedy Cellar Vegas is coming. That's something exciting going on. We have a guest co-host today, Miss Catherine Timpf.
Hello.
I just told her she was co-hosting. I hope you have no objections.
Yeah, I guess not. That's good.
It's too late now.
As a co-host, your job mainly is to sit to my right.
All right. I can handle that. I'm doing it already.
And also to have a certain authority and command.
Oh, wow. Well.
Catherine, you, of course, know from Fox News. She's on The Kennedy Show, I think, all the time.
Gutfeld Show. Greg Gutfeld Show.
No, but you said you were on Kennedy.
I was on Kennedy yesterday.
In any case, she's all over the TV is what I'm trying to tell you.
Getting it in.
You're also a stand-up,
I don't know
right?
if she's getting it in,
yeah,
but she's on
I've started doing stand-up again, actually. I'm doing that to myself.
All right.
I met her when she was there. And this is Damien Lemon. Damien, how you doing?
I'm chilling. How are you?
Well, I'm all right. Now, I think you're making your debut on this show.
This
is that correct?
This is it. We'll see how it goes. This is my debut.
So far, so good. Mm-hmm. I like the energy that you're bringing.
I appreciate it,
and
man.
I think we have a nice mix. So anyway, I wanted to start off. Aziz Ansari was good enough to get himself embroiled in a controversy, and I thought that would be a good place to start off, because I consider this the podcast of record for all comedian sex scandals.
Yeah, it has been.
You know, we delved into Louis. We did a deep dive into Louis, and we got to the bottom of that, I think, pretty well. And has anybody read it? This is Aziz Ansari. There was an article in babe.com, which is some blog. I don't know. Did anybody read it but me, Catherine?
I read it, and I was like halfway through reading it, and I kind of was like, why am I still reading this?
Why?
You know,
because
I mean?
There wasn't a lot of there, or why?
Part of it, yeah, and it also just felt very personal.
Felt
very personal.
I felt I owed it to Aziz to read it, such that I could make a... Pete Lee is stopping, and Pete Lee, somebody who... Is that Pete Lee, or is my vision bad?
That's
not
that's
Pete
your
Lee.
Vision. It's another
that's
way,
just
man.
A guy.
Yeah.
Well, so just to summarize for our readers, if you didn't... Apparently, Aziz Ansari met a young lady at some party, and they had a similar phone, so they started talking about the phone.
I think it was
phone.
A...
Well, whatever, it's on its lesser importance what the particular technological device was.
Yeah.
What matters is they exchanged numbers, they got together, they had dinner. After dinner, she rushed him... he rushed her back to his apartment. There was no long walk... along the water, what have you.
Right.
I don't know if it was wintertime, but for whatever reason, there was no walk.
Right
to the apartment.
Yeah.
And Aziz just started grabbing and...
Fingers in the throat.
He put his fingers in her mouth. She didn't have any, it didn't seem to me, any strong objections, but she was uncomfortable. She had nonverbal hesitation, or she describes it as nonverbal no, but I'm not sure what that means.
Right.
But she did give him a blowjob, which she says she felt pressured to do without elaborating on what constitutes pressure. In any case, eventually she said, I'm not down with, I don't want to have sex with you, and she went home in an Uber.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, there's a
well,
bit
he texted her the next day, didn't he?
Yeah, she texted him, and he said, sorry. She said she felt uncomfortable, and he said something to the effect of, sorry about that, didn't realize it, misread it. Something like that.
Well, there's a lot of controversy, more so, I think, than in the other cases of sexual accusations, of sexual inappropriate behavior, that, you know, people are taking Aziz's side, and people are not taking Aziz's side, but there seems to be a lot of division regarding this controversy.
Yeah, you're open it, keeping it light.
So, Mr. Lemon.
Yeah. Yeah.
From your point of view.
My point of view. I wasn't there.
Well, no, you were not.
Okay.
But given the facts as stated on the record.
In the article? Read in the article. What's the question?
The question is, lay it on me. What are your thoughts? That's the question.
It feels like remorse. It don't feel like an assault. It feels like she realized maybe in the moment that she might have just been more of the same. You know what I mean? Like, it was like, we came to the crib, we had a couple drinks, I moved you to my spot over here, we did what we had to do, came back to the spot, we moving, we doing what we do. It might be moving too swiftly for her, I don't understand. There was many points where she was like, well, I didn't know if I wasn't really into that, but then I did this. And it was many moments where she could have just said, you know what, I'm cool, or this is, you know what, look, let's slow down a bit. I'm about to leave, blah, blah, blah. Something to that effect.
Please don't put your fingers in my throat.
All of that. All of that. Articulate all of that. You right. know what I mean?
Well, I got into a Facebook argument. So, by the way, I couldn't agree with you more, I think. But the way you talk, sometimes I don't quite understand.
That's all right. Likewise. Likewise.
But the crib, I got that. That means your apartment. Uh-huh. And yes, I don't believe this doesn't read to me like assault. Or anything of that nature. I think she was upset because she didn't get the Aziz gentleman treatment, which he reserves for, I would imagine, women that he's really, really into. Like, he wouldn't pull this shit with Scarlett Johansson.
No, I don't get, though. She calls it the worst night of her life. That I don't know about that.
Well,
you've probably had a pretty good life if that's the worst night of your life.
Also, I mean, just
I've
to
had
give
worse
her
nights this week.
The
probably.
Benefit of the doubt. I mean, editors usually write people's headlines, so right. it's possible yeah. she didn't write that headline. It's just a clickbaity headline.
I thought
headline.
She texted that to her friend. This is the worst.
Oh, did she?
Night
okay,
of my
well.
Life. I mean, he doesn't come off looking like the nicest dude. I'm not going to say that, but I don't see where there's assault
right.
in there. I don't see where there's assault.
He was not the most. Yeah,
the most
gentlemanly
person.
I'm sure Aziz can be a tremendous gentleman. Like I said, if he were taking out Cat Timp, for example,
yeah.
you know damn well he wouldn't pull that crap.
I would say, please
slow walk it.
Get your fingers out of around
but
my
he
mouth
wouldn't
area.
Have even taken you to his apartment. He would have said, Cat, I really like you a lot. Let's take a walk. Let's do this. Let's do that. I want to see you again. He would have kissed you on the cheek and sent you home because he would have wanted to see you again, a woman of your. At your level.
Perhaps. I don't
you
know.
You don't just take Cat Timpf home for, I mean, you do if you can get away with it, but generally speaking.
Well, this girl, didn't she approached him at a party. She
right.
pursued him.
Right.
So it's, I mean, not condoning that necessarily, but is it off base to say that he probably had some sort of expectation as to how the night went down because she pursued him
right.
so vigorously?
Yeah, and she met him at his apartment. He was like, come to my apartment. She was like, all right.
Not that same night, though, was it? Wasn't the same night.
No, it was a few nights later,
okay, right.
and then they went out to eat, and
right.
then they came back. And then the big thing is that they were making out, and he put his fingers in her mouth.
Right.
Which some, I was having a Facebook argument.
It's weird. It feels weird. A V-shape, it felt like that would be resistant.
Well,
yeah,
feel like
that
would,
feel like you'd hit your teeth.
Right. But
teeth.
Maybe that's a different move. You never know.
But I was having a Facebook argument with some young ladies uh-huh. who were outraged at that he would put his fingers in her mouth without explicit permission, to which I said, well, you're making out, you're naked, you try some shit.
Right.
You know, and I like, you don't have to ask every little incremental move. You know, if she didn't
that
want...
That would be super weird.
I try to get the female perspective. That's one of the reasons
yeah.
I invited Kat down to the show to get a female perspective on this. What do you make of that when you're, you know, with a man and you're being intimate? I mean, you don't expect him to ask permission for every move that he makes, I gather.
No, that would be very strange and weird. I feel like they were just both drunk. Maybe he couldn't read signals. Maybe he didn't care. But even if he did, I just don't. I think, like, I've been really big on all this Me Too stuff. I think that it's an epidemic, and I think that it's a huge problem, and I think we need to talk about it. But then I read this, and as I was reading it, I was like, where's the thing that's assault? And you can, I think you should be able to say, okay, this guy was kind of an asshole to me, but why are you calling it assault? I don't see where the assault is, because you went along with it the entire time.
Right.
You know what I read about in a lot of these stories? There's a common thread where women seem to go along with these sorts of things because they feel they don't know how to say no, or they feel pressured. Some sort of...
But that's the power dynamic. With the rest of these stories, it's like, okay, Harvey Weinstein had power over you. He's going to put you in a movie or
Aziz
not. You don't
didn't
say
have
no.
Power.
But Aziz didn't, yeah. It was a photographer and hit. Like, they have no connection at work. They don't work together. He's not her boss. So there's no power dynamic here. He's just a dude who's famous.
But just because there's
Do you ever go have? I've been reading about women. They say they have sex with men just because they don't want to say no.
I don't do that. I've kicked guys out of my apartment and I've left apartments. I just don't do it.
I know
a lot of women don't do that. But if you don't, I don't think it's assault.
I can tell you, women have no problem saying to me no. Get that needle dick out of my face.
But what do you make of all these women who say that, you know, if I didn't go along with it, I was afraid that I was going to be killed or raped, you know? I mean,
I think that's another thing, but I'm not really seeing that here.
Well, not with Aziz. It's just smaller.
So you're saying Aziz is not a hulking masculine guy?
She didn't say that. She didn't even say that herself. She didn't say, I didn't go along with it because I was afraid Aziz was going to murder me. I'm sorry. I can't even say that.
Now, here's the question. When she got into the Uber cab, because Aziz bought her an Uber cab home.
Mm.
Now, when the Uber driver saw Aziz's name popping up on the Uber account, did he say, you are third girl this week I pick up at Aziz's house?
No, probably not.
Why are they always crying?
Uber pool.
He didn't get her an Uber pool.
That'd be a move, though.
I have a question for Damien. So you're a public figure.
Is he?
Yeah.
To an extent.
Now that I've done this podcast.
Yeah,
yes.
Right. Now that you've done this podcast, you're a public figure. And in what way? And I guess this goes for you too, Dan. Like this.
Well, I'm not a public figure.
Rash of stories, all of these stories that are coming out.
Right.
And this goes for Pete Lee, too, who's just joining us.
Pete Lee, we're having a discussion. Can you guess what we're discussing? This could be fun. What are we discussing?
You
what's
know
big
what we're
news?
Discussing.
What's big news right now in the comedy world?
Fingers in
could
the
you
mouth.
Please? Could you speak into
it,
the microphone?
Is it fingers in the mouth?
Yeah, fingers in the mouth.
Is that what it is?
Right.
That's what we're discussing. Well, not just the fingers, but the whole episode.
Yeah. So I wanted to know these stories that are coming out. How, if at all, have they affected the way that you now approach romantic situations?
Oh my! Well, yeah, I'm single, and I've been having a lot of encounters. Yeah, ooh.
Encounters.
Little, yeah.
Ah.
But
I don't always sound sensual. An encounter.
Yeah. I've been encountering women.
No, fuck it. Okay.
Thank you. I would say that, you know, in every hookup, I've always been very respectful, and I've always said like, hey, is this okay? And you know, like, hey, can I take off your shirt? And I've asked almost every step of the process.
That's even creepier, though. Can I take off your shirt?
No, I mean, but I would say that it used to be creepy, and now girls are going like, oh, you're a respectable guy, and this is okay. Whereas they used to be like, yeah, just take off my shirt. You know,
you
like,
start no, but Pete, you start when you put your hand and you start to lift it up. You don't take it off so fast that they don't have time to say. You pull it up slowly. And well, then see what goes. You don't say, might I take your shirt off now?
But at least with the women that I've been with, they like it. They're like, hey, I like that you asked.
I know that Lemon don't play that.
My counselor. Yeah. It's about rhythm.
Thank you. This is what Pete Lee doesn't understand.
It's about rhythm. But to your point, I mean, I'm not going to go all the way through like a procedure. Okay, I'm about to unfasten your bra. But every so often, if you could feel it, but if it feels like things are slowing down, I'll ask flat out, are we good? Everything all right? And you know what I mean?
Like, yeah. Let's,
well, if you sense hesitation, but you would never say, can I take your shirt
and
off
this
now?
Button? And what about this button?
Exactly.
Right, you do one button, that's why you do one button at a time. So that when it gets to the button that she don't want, she can say, that's one button too many.
I just resent the idea that, like, as a woman, I'm not ever able to say no. Like, we're all so weak that I can't just be like, no, I don't want you to touch me. No,
you
I don't
say
want you to do
no?
that. Right, exactly. But I feel like this is saying that you should assume that every woman that you're with is too, like, scared to say, no, I actually don't feel like fucking
right.
you.
Right, which is, you know, that's crazy. And that, most women will say, nah, I'm good. Or,
yeah,
nah, we're
not fucking
tonight.
I have no problem saying that.
It'll be that clear. We're not fucking tonight. We could do this. They might give you a menu of options, or it is what it is. It's just going to be what's going to
be. When you look at Kat Timpf, you know one thing. This woman is not to be messed with.
No.
You know, she's got the glasses and the confidence.
Yeah.
And I think that it's very clear that you don't pull that shit with Timpf.
Well, I mean, like I said earlier, if there's a power dynamic between the two people, then it makes sense. But if there's no power dynamic and you're just hooking up, it's a lot different. Like this, I'm like, how is this assault? I don't see that as assault. And I've been big. I've written a lot of columns on the Roy Moore shit, even like, you know, even the Roger Ailes shit, and I work at Fox, so I'm consistent about this kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
The Harvey Weinstein stuff, that stuff's different because there's a power dynamic. This is just two drunk people.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I mean, I think that...
Billy, you can take off your jacket if you'd like.
Yeah, it's very warm in here.
It's extreme.
Whoa. Let us know.
Let us know if you're okay.
Yeah, you didn't ask.
I did ask. I said, you can if you'd like.
No, he told me, and now I'm going to blog about
you. I said, lose the jacket.
And now he feels uncomfortable.
The thing is, some people are so hitched on to this that I think that they'd stand in your corner. They'd be like, you mean you were forced to take your jacket off in front of all those people?
Right. Yeah.
There's going to be an article tomorrow on Babe.
There's a power dynamic. There's a power dynamic because I am the host of the show.
Yes, you are. But I think that
albeit Pete Lee has more credits in the non-podcasting world, I think.
I don't know about that.
Well,
you've done a lot of things, but I would also say that it me asking girls those questions along the way also depends on what I generally know about them. You know, I have a friend who's very active in feminism. You know, she's really into the Me Too stuff. We were making out recently.
That's some friend.
And she, we started to hook up, and she was like, whoa, I'm not ready for this. And I was like, oh, okay, that's all right. And this is a real story that I'm going to tell. I don't think I should tell it, but I will. But
I hate podcasts like that.
But then...
You didn't get her consent.
Yeah, but then... So I backed off. And then she started coming after me again, and then things started to happen. Then she's like, "Whoa, like I'm not ready for this," and I was like, "Okay, cool, like I'm cool." And then she tried to start things again, and I was like, "No, let's just chill out. Like we need to just chill out." And she's like, "Why?" And I go, "Because this is really confusing to me, because like we put the brakes on. There was a big stop sign, and I respect that. But like I'm also like my dick was like no like." Like absolutely, like my dick wasn't even gonna respond the next time.
I don't know how I should feel about Pete talking about his dick.
So how did the story end?
It's so out of character.
We got together again. The same thing happened again, and I talked to my best friend is a comic, and she was like, "Yeah, never hang out with her again. You're about to get yourself blogged about. Like you're about to get yourself in trouble. You've done everything by the letter of what's right and what to do, and you can't." You just can't go for this.
You're
again.
About to get blogged about.
Wow. Yeah.
But on the other end of it,
shit.
There's a girl that I hook up with that's really into S&M, and I was asking her, I'm like, "Hey, can I take your pants off? Like, is this cool? Is this whatever?" And she's like, "Pete, I'm used to guys hitting me." She's like, "You could hit me and it'd be all right." And then just to be funny, I smacked her across the face really hard, and she was like, "Oh, I loved that. Like, it was the best thing that I possibly could have done." And I did it as a joke, and it was a risk in the moment, just smacking her across the face.
Yeah, it's always a risk to hit someone in the face.
Yeah, but she was so into it and loved it.
Well, this is what separates Pete Lee from Ryan Hamilton. Both nice guys, unassuming. But Pete Lee smacks a bitch.
Yeah.
Out the blue.
Yeah. But it was, it turned out that the smack was consensual. But I mean, I guess she told me that she liked that a second before I did it. But she just would have never expected it from me.
Well, there you have it. Exclusive Pete Lee.
Beats women. Is that what you wanted to say?
Yeah.
But damn it.
I wouldn't be a wife beater, I'd be a date beater, right?
Well, whatever. I don't want to get... Certainly.
I mean, you'd still be a sexual assaulter. Or does that even count as sexual
that's
assault?
Just that's regular just assault.
Yeah, that's regular.
Pete just punched a person.
I want to... I think we've, analyzed this fairly well. I did want to talk about Kat's return to the world of stand-up, because I saw you on the schedule the other night.
Yeah.
Well, and I met Kat. She was a stand-up. Uh-huh. That's how we met, and then she kind of dropped out of stand-up to pursue punditry. I don't.
True.
She's
do
you watch Fox News, Damien?
No,
it's
not
right.
Really.
Okay.
You fit the profile. I can see you doing your thing on it.
You got my glasses and my
glasses.
You got the blonde
fake hair.
Yeah, but look, you're doing it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Go
I'm
ahead.
Really
she,
in there.
She's in there, and I thought she had abandoned the world of stand-up for good.
I thought I had to.
Which is what I'm looking for.
Yeah, I thought I had to.
But then I see her on the schedule the other night doing stand-up, and I didn't catch your act. But what brought you back to the stand-up?
Aruba Ray asked me to do a couple minutes.
Oh, God.
Enter Ray Ellen.
And I did, and it went really well. So now I'm like doing it again.
Is that
and
was for the pilot that we're doing? We're doing, Damien, are you where?
I'm not, tell me.
We're doing a pilot.
You and Kat.
Not me and Kat. No, the Comedy Cellar is doing a pilot with Comedy Central. We're in.
Okay.
You remember the show Best Week Ever, right?
Absolutely.
I would say it's like Best Week Ever meets what's a stand-up show?
Well, it would be like...
Best Week Ever meets... Evening at the Improv.
Ooh,
that's an old reference, but you get the idea. In other words, we're looking at the we're looking at the week, uh-huh. and comics are talking about what happened that week in the news, be it Trump's latest scandal or Prince Harry getting married.
Right.
And the comics are doing their jokes about it. So what Comedy Central did is they filmed a Friday night, a Saturday night, and a Sunday night here at the Comedy Cellar.
Okay.
And they're going to then make it in, and they're going to like cut it up into sections, like here's a section about Trump, here's a section about Prince Harry getting married, whatever, with some maybe interstitial conversation, and that's the pilot. Now, were you away this weekend? Is that it?
Or
is this going to get awkward?
No, I mean, it is what it is at this point. It's very awkward. Very upset about the whole thing.
But that was a non-airing pilot, and once it gets picked up, you're going to be involved
If it gets picked up, and we're hoping for the best, I no doubt that Damian will be very much involved.
I hope so. We'll see.
But that's what was done over the weekend. So Kat, Aruba Ray apparently, rather Aruba Ray is like one of the producers of the show.
Okay.
You know Aruba Ray?
Nah, but he sounds like a fun guy.
Well,
Aruba Ray sounds like he's
Ray
you
Allen.
You may also know him under the name Ray Allen.
Oh, Ray Allen. Okay. Yeah. Well, how did he get the name Aruba Ray?
He's in Aruba all the time.
He's in Aruba all the time.
Really?
And he wears Aruba hats, and it's just a lot of Aruba going on.
Have you been to a stand-up show?
No, I've never been to Aruba.
He produces a show in Aruba.
Okay, I think I've heard about it. I didn't know that was his show. Okay.
Has he ever invited you to the show?
Nah, I haven't.
Look
at this.
Again, awkward.
You keep bringing this.
Damn it.
Yeah.
But I only do that with Danny because his career is going so well.
So you want to bring him down a peg.
I can rib him gently. You understand?
Oh, okay. Yeah, Damien, we all got
like,
gold.
I spoke to your father last week. Did he call you? No. Sorry. I'm sorry to hear about that.
So
what were we about to say, Pete?
So, Kat, so Aruba Ray called you?
Facebook message was how it went down. That's important to the story.
Right. Well, that's not really important.
Because we started making fun of, we were friends on Facebook. Because remember, we were all making fun of one of his Aruba posts last time I was here.
Oh my God!
And the sunset one.
The sunset one. It was atrocious. It was awful.
We should cut that in, actually. Sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah, we should cut that in. Hmm. I'll do a dramatic reading.
A reading of his Facebook post?
Yeah.
I want a Tracy Morgan reading of his Facebook post.
As I was staring at the sunset.
Oh, it was real bad.
I saw a dolphin.
Last time I was here, I sent the post, just the post by itself, to about 15 of my friends, and it was like, what do you think of this post? And they were all like, what the fuck?
You know what was weird was I was with him like 2 days before that post, and we were sitting in the water watching the sunset.
In Aruba.
Yeah, in Aruba. And at one point, Noam called me over to a table back there, and they were all ripping on Ray, and they're like, isn't this the worst thing? And I just didn't want to admit, like, well, I was kind of with him for maybe that moment.
I think I was there.
You were his muse, apparently.
Aruba Pete.
Kat, what did you discuss? What topics? Were you given topics to discuss in particular?
No, I did a couple, like, Trump, North Korea stuff, and then I just mostly did, like, self-deprecating stuff and whatever else. Whatever.
And you say it went well, so
it went well. Like, I was terrified. I, like, Eve literally posted on Twitter. I was like, haven't been on stage in a year and a half. I'm about to go bomb right now. Like, I thought for sure I was going to bomb, and I didn't.
Yes.
Did Esty invite you to put in avails for this club?
No, not yet.
Okay.
But I've got some other stuff.
Wait, so your first setback from not doing stand-up was a taping?
At the Comedy Cellar.
Yeah.
Wow, you swing for the fences. That matters.
That was Aruba Ray's.
Come back.
That was Aruba Ray's doing, and what motivations Aruba Ray has are unclear.
Who knows?
Yeah, I'm going to start jogging again. How about at the Olympics?
Exactly.
And Pete, you did it as well.
I did it as well.
Don't worry, Damien. We'll get to your stuff.
It's all right. I'm here.
No. I did the taping as well. I thought it was really fun. I wrote a bunch of new jokes for New Joke Night that were topical, which I normally don't write topical stuff. And then the crowd was receptive to about 3 out of 7 of my things during the taping. And so I think there's a chance that something will
make
it.
I did too, and I had a couple of jokes. And I did find it myself was nervous because doing new jokes at the Comedy Cellar in front of a full room makes me nervous.
Right.
I prefer to do new jokes in front of a smaller crowd.
Right.
But I don't know how you feel about
that. Not to be on television.
And also because I feel, and this is me, I'm going to reveal.
Go ahead.
We're going to go a little bit raw here.
Let's go.
I don't feel Comedy Central likes me. They certainly have not indicated great love for me.
Mm. Why do you say that?
Because they haven't given me my due.
Uh-oh.
Where's my hour special? Whereas my, you know,
but that doesn't mean they necessarily that they don't like you.
They don't, but they don't love me. They don't. They probably consider me an older guy who's, not a young.
Who's long past his prime and
whatever. You know.
Yeah.
So I feel like I have to. If I don't do a good job, they're going to say, "Well, yeah, duh." I mean. You know, of course he didn't do a good job. He's not young and hip.
No, I would think it would be the opposite. You have experience, and so you're that much less likely to bomb.
Anybody can bomb on any given night, especially with new jokes. So my point is that I feel like I got to be twice as good.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know?
To beat the white man.
To beat the white man,
absolutely.
Exactly.
Come on now. We know.
You know, because I'm not some of the people that they really, really, really like at Comedy Central.
That's interesting.
I don't mention any names, but... The younger dudes that they seem to love. So I felt that extra pressure. In any case,
Damien, you feel that pressure when you go up on stage when you're the only black guy on stage or on the lineup? Is that you gotta bring it extra because you're the only non-white person?
No, I haven't felt like that in a long ass time. No, I'm just gonna be me. I gotta do my thing. I don't even look at it like that.
I mean, we're talking about Aziz earlier. I want to thank Aziz because Aziz makes me work harder.
Right.
Because for the same reason, but not because Aziz is so incredibly brilliant necessarily. Uh-huh. Okay. He's a fine comic, no question about it.
Right.
But the fact that he's famous makes me. And I'll never be more famous than he is, but I can control killing as hard as he does.
Right.
And I don't want the audience to leave thinking, well, I know why Aziz is famous and that other guy nobody's ever heard of.
Right.
I don't want them to say that. I want them to say, to be honest with you, you know, that other guy was just as good or better than Aziz. You know, mm-hmm. That's all I can control. I don't know if that resonates with anybody.
Absolutely. Hell yeah. Cause there's part of you that's like, you see all, you feel, you hear that pop that he get,
right?
And you like, hold up, let me let them know I get busy too.
Let them know, you know, that just because they've heard of him,
right,
doesn't mean that I can't bring it as hard.
That sound like opportunity for new fans.
Yes.
Every time you hear ho ho, you heard that Aziz pop, you're like, wait a minute, that sound like I could add to my Natterman boom. I gave you a boom.
You
got a pop.
I guess
going with a boom. A boom is more seismic and it's developing. So it's not over.
That is correct.
So you think that makes you a better comic?
I think anything that makes me work harder, it makes me a better comic. Pete Lee makes me work harder because I'll be damned.
I'll be damned
if Pete Lee is going to outshine me.
But I think that we all.
I think it's ego, though, too. It is ego. I'll say that.
It's definitely ego. I mean, you. I followed Mateo Lane last night down at the Cellar, or two nights ago, and I mean he crushed. And he's my friend; I love him dearly. But my ego was like, well, I'm not going to be outdone. I gotta go up after him and destroy. And it was honestly hard in the first 2 minutes. The crowd was noticing that I was killing, like, or from their eyes, they were like, Pete's killing. But in my mind, I was like, I'm working 30 times harder than I normally have to. To get them used to me and into me, and but yeah, I mean, I love that. Like, have you guys noticed that people bring cupcake openers on the road with them? You know, people that they can follow. I'd rather have somebody that's very strong that makes it so difficult for
me.
On
the road, I prefer a cupcake.
You like a cupcake?
On the road, I'm there to do a job and to make money. I'm not there to grow artistically. The road to me, is just doing the job, getting the check. I don't grow artistically. On the road,
and
I grow.
You
artistic.
Don't want to be outshined.
I don't want to be outshined on the road.
Let me ask you this: how often you went up after Mateo? He destroyed, right? You go up after Aziz, he destroys, right? Your whole point this night—it's Wednesday. You know what I mean? Your whole point this night was to work out these two new bits that you really—you gonna sandwich your men. He just destroyed. Do you toss that shit and you say fuck it, or do you?
No, I do the new bit because. Destroying with old bits is not
right.
Is not
it's a
destroying.
Crutch.
It's a crutch. No. When I say destroy, I got to do some new shit. You know,
right.
Because otherwise it's not satisfying.
But to your point, on a 15-minute
set, you got to destroy with new shit to even feel a destruction.
That's correct.
I like that.
Yes, indeed. Because Aziz is doing new shit.
Right.
So if I destroy with old shit, I know the audience might not know, but I know what I've done. I know I've been a bad boy
right.
and relied on old shit.
Right.
And it don't feel good.
Nah.
Kat, you have something to say about this? Like, you're being silent. I know.
I mean, I don't really know what to say. When I did this on Sunday, I did like half new things, and I just sort of wrote in a day, and I was pretty fucking scared.
Let me ask you, how often when you said, all right, I don't do comedy anymore, how often would you still say, I got to write a little something?
Yeah, all the time.
Okay.
All the time, because I did miss it sometimes.
So you never really quit. You just stopped performing, but you were still...
Yeah, I was still writing stuff down.
Shit. Okay.
So.
Yeah, that's where comedy's an addiction. I never understand it when people go, yeah, I quit. I'm like, you never quit. You always see something and you go, oh, that's a bit. Or that's a joke or a one-liner. And how does a great one-liner come into your head that you know is original and you don't write it down and have the urge to try it? Like that,
right.
It never goes away.
Well, half my Twitter is like not even about politics. Like you look at my Twitter and I work at Fox News and you'd be like, what is this shit?
Yeah.
So, I mean, I don't know.
Do people give you flack for that because they have an expectation of you?
Oh, yeah. Like, I mean, like, you mean people in the comments section type of shit? Yeah, absolutely. Of course they do. Idiots. And it's always grammatically incorrect and like, whatever, nobody can take you seriously now and like all that kind of stuff. But I don't know.
Well, you're trying to straddle two worlds. You're trying to be a pundit, which requires a certain seriousness.
I don't think it should.
So you're trying to flip the script.
Yeah.
I think you could do that. I think everything's different in the news now. Like, the news isn't objective anymore. It's like, you pick a narrative. You know what I mean? Like, you want to feel how you want to feel, you tune into these people over here. You know what I mean? Like, people don't just report the news. This is what happens.
Right.
Like,
they're already picking a side.
And this is how you should feel about the shit. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Well, I think also The Daily Show has kind of made comedy/news a thing. So now everybody in the news, it's like now news and stand-up are sort of all melded together, which is why maybe this show on Comedy Central that Damon will certainly, no question about it, be involved with, why it may just be a huge hit.
Yeah.
It may. I don't know. Are you feeling it, Calabria?
I mean, well, the question, I guess, goes to you guys. Do you think that stand-up comics are going to, week after week, want to generate new material?
Yes,
because
it must get annoying. If it gets on the show and we can make money and get on a TV show, absolutely.
Yeah, I mean,
it would be fun to do
so. We'd be getting paid scale, you know? So, I mean, scale on a weekly basis to come up with a couple, you know, a handful of new bits, I would probably develop a strategy. I'd be like, well, I'm gonna work them out on Monday. I might start trying them out on Saturday night in the middle of my headlining sets on the road. Like, I would work at it like it was a job and probably take it way more seriously than I did the pilot.
Yes, I would do that too. I think it would motivate me more. Now, Damien, you're no stranger to television.
No.
I understand that I don't watch it necessarily, but that you have a TV show.
I do.
That's the funniest question I've ever heard.
I don't watch it, but a very successful TV show that just did its second season.
Yeah.
Don't go by me. I'm mostly just watching Black Mirror these days.
Don't even worry about it. Of course you are.
Yes. Of course you're a Black Mirror guy.
John Mayer, I understand that you play music.
I never necessarily heard it, but...
Well,
you got that guitar.
I am a little bit out of the loop sometimes, but this TV show,
right?
This
program,
it's on the True TV, which is a television network,
right?
I got this for doing his show.
He's got some swag.
I'm literally wearing the shirt that I got, and this show goes
by the name of
You Could Do It. Comedy Knockout.
Yeah, and the premise is...
The premise is basically to make the people in the... Just get the best laughs in the room. Win that live audience. Make me laugh. We set up comedians with various little jokes, which are basically setups for comedians to just riff and be funny.
Is it a round table or is it...
It's like a panel show. So how to start is three comedians will go up. Play various games similar, like we'll have a game like what not to say, right? So what not to say when you're going through TSA.
You
step up and you say what not to say, something that, you know.
And it's got to be completely improvised off the cuff?
It could. I mean, it should have the feeling of you performing it for the first time. Now, obviously, you're going to write something.
So you get the packet maybe a week prior. So if I just, off the top of my head, I would think what not to say, Allahu Akbar.
Exactly.
You know, peace be upon you.
Right.
anything Muslim-y.
If you want to go that route.
Might be something that
that's
you
if
would,
you want to go with that that
might
fruit.
Be something you wouldn't say at TSA.
Right. Yeah, and it's a bunch of different things. That's the that's where it goes.
I'd probably do better if I had a few more days to work it through,
absolutely.
But that's just off the top of my head.
You know what I
mean? Well, this sounds like a fascinating show.
It's a great show. It's so fun to do.
You have fun on there, Pete?
I had so much fun on there. The last... I taped a couple episodes this time, and then the last crowd that we had was kind of a stinker of a crowd, which is uncommon for that show because the warm-up guy, Mad Dog, is so funny. And
Mad Dog Mattern?
Yeah. James Mattern.
Yeah. He doesn't go by Mad Dog no more.
I know. I still call him Mad Dog.
Well, he don't like that.
He don't like
James,
that shit. You got
James
it.
Dog.
He does not
James
like...
James Dog. Mad Dog. James Dog, Mad Dog.
Jamie Mattern.
Yeah, Jamie Mattern. I'm going to get an email from him. But anyway, but even with that
show.
Are
you a writer for that show?
For his show?
I know you write on True TV.
No, Greatest Ever.
Whatever. Okay. So anyway, you're on the show.
Yeah, I'm on the show. It's even with that stinker of a crowd, it was so fun because, like, we had fun.
Yeah.
The whole, you have fun with the other two comics that you're on. The crew is so great. The crowd got better. And then the show that I taped before that one where the crowd was electric. The whole experience was like you didn't want to leave at the end of the episode. It's so fun. And then they do this thing at the end where the person that comes in second has to read an apology that's pre-written.
So it's a contest?
Yeah, it's a contest. Yeah,
a fake contest. It's, you know, it ain't no real stakes.
I guess.
Basically, the first person that it's three contestants, right?
That are so, all comics.
All comics. Yeah. First person has to sit amongst the crowd. You know what I mean? So that's that. And then it goes head to head. There's one winner who gets a trophy, you know, a comedy knockout trophy. The other person has to read an apology for being terrible at comedy.
And
that's pre-written by the writers about them.
And the third person is executed.
And, oh, yeah, we beat them with whips and shit. Yeah. It's ridiculous. Yeah.
I have to say this show sounds wonderful to watch. I don't know that it's a good fit for me.
You'd have so much fun.
The whole time he was just wondering if it was a good fit for him.
I don't
like that's what this was all about.
Yeah.
Well, isn't what it's all about, but it is something that needs to be addressed.
Let's address it.
I just don't love competition.
I hear you.
You know, among comedians. We all do our thing.
But you do, though.
I never had a... because I was saying
you
earlier.
You just said right. That about Aziz.
Yeah. Because I'm contradicting myself. Mm-hmm. Don't you understand?
We'll have you on his show with Aziz, and then you'll want to compete.
Aziz has been waiting. That's basically the reason he hasn't done it yet. He's like, I want to get Natter
in the ring. He wants me in the ring.
We got a score to settle.
Interesting. Well, you're not inviting me, but if I'll take it under advisement if you do. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't close it off out of hand necessarily.
Well, I'd have to discuss it with Aziz, obviously.
Yeah.
With Aziz, yes, of course.
But Dan, you've never done
Aziz
a show.
Aziz is probably
like
in Italy right now because that's what, you know, when you're in trouble with. Anytime you get into trouble, you go off to your happy place. And I think Aziz's happy place is Italy, as I understand it. I know he has a home
really?
There. Yeah, he has a home there. He likes Italy for some reason.
Huh.
Yeah, I think because people don't recognize him there is why he likes Italy.
They're also tan in the Mediterranean that he just...
I would love to be that rich.
Yeah.
I love it.
What, like, to just escape
to
Italy?
You could go to Italy for a couple of weeks. You don't have to stay in... Aziz probably has like a palazzo, but you could stay at an Airbnb.
I could do that.
But you're right. That would be great. Like, oh, I'm in the middle of a terrible scandal. I need to go to Italy.
Right. It's like you feel bad for these people. And I'm
not saying I'm definitely in Italy. I'm just a supposition on my part.
And you could go to Italy without a scandal. You know what I mean? Don't limit yourself.
I know.
Just get the money together. You could go. It could be a beautiful thing.
It could be even better.
Yeah, it's not a refuge.
But if he could trade lives with me, he'd be like, I'm not living in that one-bedroom apartment. I'll take this every day, whatever it is in Italy.
Your one-bedroom versus his
scandal
in
he
Italy?
He would pick the scandal.
He would pick the scandal. Italy. Of course he would, because the scandal will probably blow over soon enough.
Right.
It's not Louis C.K. level, and even Louis wasn't Weinstein level, so there's degrees.
Yeah.
So I think whereas Weinstein is done for good, Louis is done for probably a couple years, and Aziz will be back next week.
He'll be on the podcast.
But if you want to go to Italy, I'm sure you have the money to do it.
I could go to Italy, sure.
And do it in Airbnb, and it wouldn't be, like I said, the most luxurious thing in the world, but you'd have a good time.
Maybe.
This sounds like one of those radio reads where they're actually promoting the Italy Tourism Board, but we just did it organically.
Right. This product has been brought to you by Italy and by Uber.
Yeah.
You need to send a young lady home in tears. Uber. Pete Lee just did an episode. One of the reasons I wanted him on the podcast is to discuss the recent episode that he did of the late night show with Jimmy Fallon.
Yes.
Yeah.
Last week we had on Gary Veeder, who had just done Colbert. And this week we're continuing on that theme. Kat Timpf is on her phone texting Aruba.
Sorry. Congratulations,
Pete. My dad texted me.
Oh, well, is he okay?
He's doing all right.
Good.
You mean the reason why you did stand-up just texted you?
My dad.
The inspiration for all our insecurities. Well, it's nice that you have a nice relationship with your father, but we do have a show to do, Catherine.
Sorry, my apologies.
I didn't feel
and
like
you are the co-host. Bad.
Oh, I forgot about that.
You're the co-host.
Apparently.
Well, official guest co-host. That's correct, which is why she's seated to my right. She's my right-hand man. You know, in the king, his most important nobles would sit on his right. That's why we have the expression right-hand.
I didn't know that. Is that
well,
right?
That's the reason why.
Yeah?
Yes, it is. Okay. And why on his right? Because, you know, the right hand for most people is their dominant hand. Mm. Anyway, you learn so much listening to this show that you won't learn on other podcasts.
She is your Alexander Hamilton to your George Washington.
I suppose.
Yes.
Anyway, Pete Lee, the Fallon show, did you catch it, Damien?
I did not, no. But I seen him preparing for it.
Oh, yeah.
Preparing for it his whole life.
Yeah.
Right.
I do that as well, where I see the person run the set so many times around New York that I'm like, I don't need to watch it.
Right.
I totally saw it. But yeah, it was phenomenal, and I felt even more comfortable this time. You know, the weird and wonderful thing about Jimmy is that he comes into your dressing room for like 20, 30 minutes beforehand and just talks to you and makes you feel comfortable and jokes around with you so that, you know, when you go out versus, you know, when I did Letterman, I walked out there.
Well, he could care less if you drop dead.
Yeah, I walked out there and I felt nervous, like, oh my God, there's Dave. I'm finally seeing Dave. Oh my God, there's the band. And with the Tonight Show, you go out there and you're like, oh, it's Jimmy again.
Right.
Like, he's my friend now. Yeah.
And then Dave Letterman, when you do Dave Letterman, Dave, I think, was the best in the game. So, you know, I have to say that, preface it with that. But as far as the comics, I didn't get the impression he really wanted us there. We'd go, we'd do our set, and he'd come over and say, thanks for coming, and then he'd basically turn his back and walk back to the chair. And it was always my impression that if the next day somebody came in and said, hey, you know, Dave, that comic we had on last night, he was hit by the car leaving the studio. I always thought Dave would be like, oh, well, you know.
Who?
We had a comic on yesterday?
Right.
Yeah, I didn't, I don't, but whereas Conan comes and sits, you sit on the couch and he talks to you.
Mm-hmm.
So after your set, did you sit on the couch? Did you?
Yeah, I got the symbolic wave over the couch.
That was a thing with Johnny. I don't know if that's still a thing or not, but
I don't know. I'm counting it. It was something that when I started comedy in 1998, I wanted that to happen for me. And
did you talk on the air afterwards, or
no? I just said thank you to him. I think that's the only thing my mic picked up. But Jimmy was incredibly complimentary and. You know, I'm working on this in therapy that, like, I can deal with negativity because my inner voice is very negative to myself.
Right.
But when people are, you know, overtly positive with me or when things are going really well in life, I don't know how to deal with that.
Right.
So, you know, it was, I was kind of using up all my defense mechanisms just to say thank you and, you know, be really happy about it and go with it. And, you know, Jimmy's so comfortable complimenting people that it really did feel amazing. And I was really trying to experience it all, but I couldn't, you know.
Like, you don't like compliments. You don't like winning.
I do like winning and I do like compliments, but I guess I'm just not, I'm not accustomed to it. You know, I think that as comics, you know, you might have been winning before you started comedy, but, you know, you either win or lose with your audiences each night, and then you live in a shithole for years, and then you struggle with poverty, and then all of a sudden things start to really happen, and it's good, and you go, well, how do I get used to this now? Because it's been decades. Monday was my 20-year comedy anniversary, and so it's really been 2 decades of...
Yeah, but you've been doing well for probably 10 years in terms of, you know, making a decent living.
Yeah, I've been doing well for about 5 years, and in there was a divorce, and then I lost almost everything, and now I rebuilt, and now I'm great, you know. But yeah, it's a process of just, you know, appreciating that, and I'll admit, you know, like it. I was pretty numb. Even Friday, I had to fly to Omaha. I watched the set with a live crowd at the Funny Bone. And then Saturday morning, I woke up, and this was the thing that cracked me, is I got on Facebook, and several friends kept texting me, like, have you been on Facebook? Have you been on Facebook? And I thought, oh, no. You know, somebody saw my credit card chip reader bit and, you know, is accusing me that it's a rape joke or something like that, you know, some scandal. So I looked on there, and then I saw that my video was up to 1.9 million views. And I was like, what? And people were sharing it, and the comments were all positive. And I just started crying. Like, I just started crying. Like, what? I don't even...
Broke all the defenses.
That broke all of it.
Yeah.
And now I think I've thought about it a lot. I've dealt with it. Like, I'm very happy about it. I'm in a really good place. But, I wish I had more of a bro-y sense of it, you know, where it was like, yeah, man, like, got a lot of applause,
and
crushed.
And this is what separates you from Aziz Ansari.
Yeah, yeah.
And the people that... Well, I don't know Aziz Ansari, but I get the sense that he
feels entitled to it,
like he deserves it.
Yeah,
now, I don't know that for sure, but I think a lot of people that do make it big, it was never a question in their minds.
Yeah,
that they had this coming to them, you know.
Right, right.
I don't know.
Yeah, a lot of people have a true sense of entitlement. Whereas I'm in therapy going like, I can welcome abundance. I can welcome the money that's coming my way. Like, I...
Well, everybody's in therapy.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Well, not necessarily for their fear of abundance.
Yeah, I have that. It's definitely...
Who was on the show with you?
It was James Spader and Camila Cabello. Very sexy.
Mm-hmm.
But she pre-taped, so I didn't even get to meet her.
Yeah,
she's so sexy. Like, every photo of her, every video, she just always looks wet. Like she has like a,
who was she
like
in?
A sexy
Camila
flu.
Cabello?
She's a singer. She's she sings that song Havana.
It's big right now.
It's
she's
really
a guest
big.
Model too. Very pretty.
Very, very beautiful.
Well, I always enjoy, as I was saying with Gary Veeder last week, to me, doing these talk shows, the most fun to me is getting to meet, you know, certain people, the other guests oftentimes
right.
are interesting. You
Who's
know.
The most interesting person you met doing?
Well, I met Fitty.
Oh,
Fitty
shit.
Cent. I've met Jennifer Aniston and Reese Witherspoon.
Right.
Wow.
Sometimes you get people that you're like, eh, you know. Other guests are like, eh.
May I ask you a question? Have you ever met a guest, either one of y'all met a guest, that y'all had a little moment or whatever, and there's this moment in your brain that you feel like, we might really be friends after this. Have you ever allowed yourself to feel that? Be honest.
Not at a talk show, but I have people I meet at the Cellar, I feel the way, you know.
Well, that's a peer. I'm talking about like...
No, I mean famous people that come to the Cellar, like... That just come because they're friends with, like, John Mayer brought Katy
right.
Perry
okay.
once. You know, and I felt that we had a good rapport.
You
I'll
feel
be
like
honest.
You could text
well, I did feel like we had some sort of rapport, but...
But I know what you're talking about, where that person's skill as a gifted narcissist is to make you feel like you're the only person in the room,
I'll
and then
you
fell for it. Like
But is that a gifted narcissist to make you feel like you're the only person in the room? That actually seems like that would go against being a gifted narcissist.
I mean,
a gifted narcissist would make you... Be excited to see me,
to see them.
That I'm in the room. It's about me rather than put it on you.
True. I don't. Yeah. So maybe we're talking about two different things. Maybe there are celebrities that are genuine people. But I feel like I've interacted with a few really great narcissists lately. And now whenever I see Instagram, I just scroll through and I'm like, this bitch is a subpar narcissist. You know, like
yeah.
Like it's like there. I think there are just different. I think it's too bad that there is narcissism and there are people that are better at it than others.
Mm. Well, I will say that I was completely ignored by Jonah Hill once on Conan years ago. When I did the Conan Tonight Show, remember he had the Tonight Show for 5 seconds?
Right.
So I did that, and the other guest was Jonah Hill, and he was promoting Funny People. So he
right.
was promoting a stand-up show,
right.
a stand-up movie. And I came out and did my stand-up,
uh-huh.
and I thought it was pretty good, and sat down, and he just didn't say a word. Now, I guess
ring.
You could argue that I could have talked to him.
Right.
But I felt that him as the far higher up celebrity.
Should have done the I'm a nice guy thing.
What's that?
He should have done the I'm a nice guy thing. Hi, how are you?
Well, he should have said, like, I felt because him being much higher on the showbiz totem pole than me, it was in his court to say to me, great job.
You know what's so funny
That's
about...
That's what I thought, man. But
right.
then again, he's a lot younger than me, so maybe it was in my position to say... good to meet you.
Right, because you're a veteran comic. He just did a movie about a comic.
Yeah.
He might be insecure in his mind thinking, oh, shit, he looks at me like an imposter.
That
I hope
could,
he says hello to
that
me. I don't
want
to play myself. You know, because it's
who
all,
knows what
it's
the dynamic,
all fantasy.
Who knows what the
know,
dynamic is.
Yeah. Shit that goes on in your head.
Yeah, Damien's right about that. I mean, I personally, when I go to those shows, I don't meet anyone. The first time I did the Tonight Show, I met Gisele Bündchen, but that's because when I got off stage, she like ran over and hugged me.
Oh,
and
damn.
She was like, oh, you did great. That was so fun. And it was it felt like I was talking to another comic because we were talking about her segment and my segment and you know, then she had to go and...
But she's married to that football dude?
Tom Brady.
Okay, yeah.
Talking to Gisele felt like talking to another comic. I love that.
Yeah.
I love that shit. We talked about bits.
Yeah, we were talking about the bits that we did, the jokes. And, yeah, she had, like, a line that she felt like she, you know, went well and then one that she didn't like. And, but, yeah, it was kind of fun to talk to her on that level. But James Spader, I had no urge to go talk to him. Although, like, let's say that, like, if Lin-Manuel Miranda was on the show from Hamilton or, like, right. Gal Gadot, who was Wonder Woman, I would have been, that would have been my goal of the day
right.
would be to talk to them.
Right.
And
but you're just not a fan of James Spader, and so you didn't.
I mean, I'm a fan of his. I watch The Blacklist. I like him, but I just, no part of me, I was just like, well, what's my end game here? Do I want to get a picture with him so that right. I can get 722 likes on Facebook? You know, do I need this at all? I don't know. You know, Paul Giamatti was on The Tonight Show also the first right. time that I did it, and I like him a lot, but, you know, it just didn't seem, I said hello to him briefly in the hallway right. in passing, but I didn't care. I didn't need a picture with him. It doesn't do anything for me.
Yeah. Do you always feel the need to say I liked your work if you like that person's work? Not if you didn't, because that's bullshit. But if you like this person's work, do you feel in your mind this might be the only time I'm gonna really ever catch? Should I full on say the whole shit, or should I just say good to meet you?
Yeah.
What are you doing? What are you going with?
That's an interesting point.
I love your work to Dr. Drew when I met him.
But you weren't serious.
I was dead serious. Oh, I love Teen Mom, Teen Mom 1, Teen Mom 2.
He gave me.
I've listened to every episode of Loveline that's ever occurred.
I typically don't say I love your work to somebody that's so big that they would hear it all the time and it would mean nothing.
Right.
I might say I love your work to somebody that could use the compliment. But of course, maybe, you know, sometimes even the biggest celebrity could use the compliment.
But see, that's the narcissism of a fan.
Uh-huh.
Because you, like, when I was young, there would be certain, you know, rappers or singers that were on the verge. They was underground. They were popping. And me, as a fucking fan that was feeling himself, felt like the fact that I even know you, you should be honored that I got the vision to see that you're going to be somebody. The fact that I'm giving you a early what's up feels like it's a little bit more prize. But this motherfucker is worthy of whatever praise comes their way.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
You're right. That is so funny, the narcissism of the fan.
Right.
To be
let me ask you, though. When you guys interact with or have met your comedy heroes here, do you react differently than when you meet just a regular old celebrity?
Definitely. I always play it cool. Like
That's as far as comedy heroes concerned, I look at comics like colleagues, and I'm not starstruck by any of them because I do what they do. And, you know, whereas musicians I'm in awe of because, like, what they do seems to me, I do comedy. Right. So it's like, all right, you do comedy, I do comedy. A musician somebody who writes, particularly a writer of music, to me that's like alchemy. Like, how the hell do you put together, I know how to write a joke, but how do you put together a bunch of notes and it becomes something incredible? To me, that's so incredible. So I'm starstruck by them, you know, more than I would be by a comic because I don't do what they do.
I understand that.
And an actor, I'm like, whatevs. You know, I'm not blown away by them mostly either, necessarily, but unless they're iconic, you know.
Yeah, I don't know.
I would like to, but...
Well, I mean, I...
What were you going to say?
Oh, I mean, yeah, I remember there was a... I think I was sitting in this exact seat at the Cellar brunch, and you were at that brunch with Chappelle, right?
Yes.
And I sat down, and Nikki Glaser was sitting next to me, and we had to catch up about something, like some dumb relationship thing that I was going through that I wanted to tell her about. And then I just didn't even see that Chappelle was sitting, like, right where you're sitting.
Yeah, that's something I would do.
At the record show, he is pointing to Cat Timpf.
Mm. Yeah, oh, wait, he is what?
No, you were pointing to Cat Timpf.
That's me.
Yeah,
describing
sorry.
For the radio listener who cannot see.
But then I was chatting with her, and then he reached over because the orange juice was right next to me, and he's like, hey man, can you pass the orange juice? And I just, in that instant, I was like, oh my God, you're Dave Chappelle. And
you said that? That's what you said?
No,
That'd be better if you did say it out loud.
Oh my God,
just
it's
like
Dave
that.
Chappelle.
Oh my God, it's
oh my
Dave
God,
Chappelle.
It's Dave Chappelle. But instead, I was like, yeah, you can have the orange juice. And I got like, right. like 90% cooler than I am with anybody. Right. It was almost funny how cool I was with this orange juice. And then as I was handing it over, I was like, be smooth with your movements. Don't knock anything over. And then he was cool for that whole brunch. We had a lot of interactions. But I would have never been like, oh my God, you've made me so happy. You know, you're the best. Because I just wouldn't want to weird him out. I wouldn't.
Well, as I said, you guys are colleagues, and I think he views you as such. So, you know, I don't think he looks at himself as like on this high, you know, pedestal above you. And I think he expects you to treat him as you would treat anyone
in the
comedy world.
Because, like, have you guys ever gone to a town where there's a dude opening for you who's a fan and they kind of fanboy out on you? It always feels weird. It's way better if they're just like, oh, yeah, cool, man. Do you want to go to Jimmy John's tomorrow? We'll hang out. I'll take you.
I'm not going to Jimmy John's, but absolutely.
Just whatever. If they're just cool, it always feels better.
We have to go soon. I did want to end on something that I thought was interesting, is that apparently Donald Trump does not have dementia. Now, you could have knocked me over with a feather on that one, because I could have sworn there was something wrong with him mentally. But according to the Montreal, oddly enough, it's like the Montreal dementia test or something.
Montreal
dementia test is testing the American president?
Some guy in Montreal invented a test.
Enough.
They call it the Montreal test. It's like when you eat a French fries.
Right.
You know.
But is that a notable test? Is that like Aziz's article being in Babe.com?
I think
oh
this
my
is
God.
The.
Did
I,
you love I, that?
I think
Babe.com.
If she told Babe.
I think the
was told to Babe.
I think the Montreal. I think it's the gold standard.
It's the gold standard.
I think it's better than the Hackensack dementia test. I think it's the gold standard of dementia tests.
Okay.
I'm not sure. You have to like identify different animals. You also have to sing a Celine Dion song because it's a Montreal thing. No, I'm kidding. You have to repeat, like it'll say like, you know, in a minute, say as many words that begin with F as possible. It'll say like, okay, here's three animals, an outline of three animals, name the animal, you know. These kinds of things, it'll say draw a clock, draw 3:05 on a clock.
Right.
To test if you have the cognitive,
right,
whatever. Anyway, apparently the guy passed. He couldn't be less dementia-id.
Right.
Whatever the word would be.
I just think it makes zero difference. Like, the crazy shit he said is still the crazy shit he said.
Well, yeah, so it turns out he's just an asshole.
Is still the crazy shit he does.
Well,
yeah.
His,
so what difference does it make if he has dementia or if he's mentally ill, like people say all the time? It doesn't matter to me, really. It's the stuff is still the stuff.
Well, if he had dementia...
I agree.
If he had,
but for me,
he would
how
have
does it affect my
it
life?
Well, first of all, dementia gets worse. Okay, dementia. He'll be crapping his pants in 2 years. It was dementia, so you have to look at that. Whereas, just if he's just crazy, he might stay this level of crazy. That's number one. Number two, if he had dementia that was diagnosed by a physician, we could invoke, I suppose, the much talked about 25th Amendment.
That's not happening.
Right.
It's just not going to happen.
I feel like that's every conversation. This might be what it... This
it
is it.
Isn't.
This
yeah,
is
people
the
have
one.
Been saying that for
we
3 years.
Yeah, it's not going to happen.
If he failed the Montreal Comedy Festival dementia test...
I mean, come on.
Then you'd have something where you could say, we got it right here. Right here, the results of the Montreal... New Faces Dementia Test.
Well, yeah, that would just be framed, though, as like the establishment coming after him in another way. And he would say, it plays well with the base that everybody thinks I'm crazy. You know, like.
Yeah, but it's the Montreal test.
Yeah,
that's universally accepted.
The average American in a bar taught you. Yeah. Like,
even his staunchest supporters have to respect the Montreal test.
Yeah. They wouldn't.
When you think all
they
the
wouldn't.
New faces are new faces,
new
but
faces.
They're the same old faces.
Exactly.
It's clear you got dementia.
But, so his supporters are saying, hey, we told you the guy's sane. And his detractors are saying, this is even worse. Because now he has no excuse.
Yeah.
We thought at least he had the excuse of having dementia. But I was surprised. I thought he did have some sort of cognitive difficulties. Because it does seem like he repeats the same words. He doesn't speak in what I would regard as very elegant sentences.
No.
I mean, Sanjay Gupta today said Trump almost certainly has heart disease. So that's
just
something.
By the way that he looks.
Why would Gupta? How does Gupta know that?
I don't know. He interviewed the doctor who examined him, or something like that, and based on the answers, he like I don't know something.
But the
like
exam
that.
Said no heart.
The
disease.
Exam said this guy is going to live another 30 years.
Two terms.
I mean, if it said that he was going to live 6 months, you think he would have even put it out?
No, but he didn't.
It
didn't
he did put it out.
Oh, you the doctor or
no,
Trump?
No, Trump.
Oh yeah. Do you have control over that? I guess you do. You can suppress it as the president, or is that public record?
I don't know.
I really don't know. But
I've never been the president. No idea.
Because Reagan was—he had dementia,
and he
had Alzheimer's. Yeah, he had it for a bit until he couldn't.
Yeah, but he was polite. You know, like
right. That's what you should do. Right?
He was a gentleman
with
dementia.
He's a nice guy about it. He's a nice guy about it.
Yeah. I mean, that would be the key to dementia too. Be nice to everybody, just because you don't want nobody coming after your ass and you forgot. You understand? Like, you don't be cool. Be
well, as you get older in life in general, I find it harder to be an asshole because I know something's coming to humble me at some point. Like, you can't be an asshole. When
forgetful, or
any bad, horrible thing,
right?
You're going to get humbled so badly at some point.
I would have thought it would be the opposite. Like you get older, and then you just stop giving a shit, and so you're just, an asshole to everybody.
There is that. There is that. But for me, I'm very conscious now of thinking to myself, who knows what 10 years down the road could bring. And if I'm an asshole to somebody now, when I could be in a wheelchair.
Right.
And they'll
roll you out into traffic.
They'll roll me right out into traffic.
I think when you're older, you're more appreciative of people even coming by to see you. You know, when you're young, you're in the streets. You're trying to establish yourself. You racing again. So you can be an asshole because you're looking past people. But when you're older, and there's only three people
right.
that
so
come
to
see you.
Right, so you want to be nice now so that when you're old, you don't get wedgies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Remember that, Catherine Tim. You're not going to be young and gorgeous forever.
I try to remember.
Well, you've got another 15 years left of it.
I do. I'm going to get all the plastic surgery, too, when I need it. So.
Oh, God. Please don't.
I'm going to have one of those faces that doesn't move at all.
Oh, God. Yeah, oh, no. I find older women to be very sexy when they
don't
get
plastic surgery. Well, I'll leave you two alone. Catherine's not older. She's actually quite young.
No, I know that you're very young, but it's going to be forever before you would even consider that kind of stuff. But. Yeah, the girls, I have so many friends that are getting Botox and they're getting little things done and it starts
lips
slippery slope.
Yeah, it starts to make them look really unnatural. Whereas like I kind of when I see a woman that's my age, I'm 40 and she's got some crow's feet going on. I think she's beautiful. I think she's beautiful. But I would rather have that than a girl whose face doesn't move.
Pete shooting his shot.
Eyebrows are tough.
I see it.
Pete is charming. Pete combines the niceness of Ryan Hamilton with the game of Damian Lemon.
That is a high compliment.
Formidable combination that what woman could possibly resist? Catherine Tim, we're kind of out of time right now, I think, Stephen.
Yeah.
I guess next week, Noam will be back to tell us all about Vegas and where things are going because the comedy club, I was told, was going to open, the Comedy Cellar Las Vegas, I was told, was going to open in March.
Uh-oh. Yeah.
So hopefully that will be the case, and I'd like to hope it'll be wonderful to go with some of y'all and chill out in Vegas.
We could do Aruba Rays in Vegas. That's what it would feel like.
Yes, we could do an Aruba Ray reunion.
Be sure to pitch that to Noam.
Yeah. So we'll find out next week where we're at with the Vegas room. Catherine Tim can be seen on
Gutfeld Show on Saturday nights, 10 p.m.
10 p.m. And Catherine, you'll hear her libertarian rantings and anti-Trump,
screeds.
Fulminations there. Pete Lee, I don't know if you have anything to promote or anything.
If they want to go on YouTube, they can.
Yeah, let's get that up to 2.5 million.
Yeah, they can go watch my Fallon set. Any of you that helps on Facebook, please go watch it there.
At what point, if you get to 10 million, then you can just call. Then at that point, you call up Comedy Central or fuck Comedy Central. You call up HBO at that point. You say, look, let's talk.
Well, I mean, I'm at a fuck.
Pete Lee needs a show.
I'm at a fuck Comedy Central point anyway, because I'm not in demo.
I never loved them.
And they're like, I want to be on Netflix. I want to be.
You'll get that. Just get up. Once you get, we get you to 4 million hits.
Yeah.
We'll get you that Netflix special.
Yeah.
Don't you worry about it. But you need $4 million. Damian Lemon can be seen.
Comedy Knockout when we come back. I believe it's Wednesdays at 11:30. Catch some reruns. Until then, D Lemon Comedy all over. I got a podcast called In the Conversation. Check that out. I'm in Atlanta this weekend at the Punchline. Please check me out.
For the love of God, go see Damian Lemon in Atlanta.
There it is.
If you live in the Atlanta area, the greater Marietta or Buckhead as well, communities are also served. Thank you, everybody, for coming. And we'll see you next week on the Comedy Cellar Show.
Thank you.